All right, you can stand up. We're talking about running with the giants, and today we're talking about the giant of all giants. We're going to have Jesus going to run a lap with us. He's going to encourage us. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of it, and he says that, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, they're in the stands, they're there, they've finished their race, let us throw off everything that hinders. The Bible acknowledges that life has a lot of hindrances and sins that easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance. That's a key word. That means not giving up, staying in there, the race marked out for us. And this is running with the giants, I think, number four, and we're going to talk about Jesus today. Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding, the ears of our heart, oh God, that we can take more than just brain knowledge, heart knowledge. Would you take and let truth become real to us, that we know it, and that it is sets us free. We love you. Everybody said amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated today. I love when we read Hebrews chapter 12, instead of reaching back into Hebrews chapter 11, all the giants, today we're staying in chapter 12, and we're going to talk about the giant of all giants. Listen to the rest of this, because verse 2 and 3 after verse 1, it spoke about run the race with perseverance. And here's what it says: keep your eyes on Jesus. Everybody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Who both, now I love the way this reads in the Message Bible, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Jesus began and finished this same race that you and I are in. Study how he did it. The race that we're running, the life that we're living in, he ran it also. And the Bible says, here's how you're going to persevere in your race and not give up, is study how he ran his race. Study how he started it. Study how he finished it. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, that means you're on your lap, you got the towel off, you're going to throw the towel in, say, "That's it. I can't run another lap, another step, it's over, I'm finished." When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Everybody say that with me. Go over that story, the old, old story. Go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. When you're about to give up, it says he was tempted in every way, just like you and I. He was tempted with every sin, every trial that everyone else would face, yet he never sinned. You know what that means? That means he understands what we're going through. That means he doesn't look at you and say, "What? You're doing that again? You're asking me what again?" He doesn't do that. He understands everything that we've been through. He understands everything that we're facing. The Bible says he doesn't come with condemnation. He doesn't come and say, "Can you get your act together? Why don't you just get your act together? Why don't you stop praying?" It says he understands everything that we've been through. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord one more good clap offer. I just feel that today. He says when you're about to give up, when you're about to throw in the towel, when you're about to quit, he said, listen, this is, go over that story. Go over it item by item. Have you ever had days, instead of faith and power, you've got paste and flour? You ever felt that way? Instead of really feeling strong, you're just kind of at the point where you say, you know, not one more day. And the Bible says when you feel like that, go over his story. Go over what he's been through. Go over it item by item one more time and let him show you how to do it. You know what I've learned is this. You know, I don't know about you, but Mondays for me is one of my worst days because I'm exhausted after a Sunday. Most preachers get depressed on Monday. They think we should have done this, we should have done that, we could have done this better, we should have done that. You know what I've got? I've got a no-quit policy on Mondays. Here's what I got. I cannot quit on Mondays. There's no firing on Mondays. There's no quitting on Mondays, because Mondays you can be down. And for Jesus, his Monday was a Friday. Because this Friday is what we call Good Friday. But you know what? It was anything but good for him. It was a good Friday for us because it was the Good Shepherd laying down his life. It was a good day because it was God gave his only begotten Son that we might have life and life more abundant. It was good for us. But for him, it was a very bad day. It was a day when all those that loved him left him. It was a day when all those that promised things didn't come through. It was a day when betrayal. It was a day when he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. It was a day when he was flogged. It was a day when there was hypocrisy. There was a day when his enemies triumphed, as it were, seemingly over him. And he lived through it. And the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, when you get to the place where you're flagging in your faith, that means you're about to throw in the towel, you're ready to quit and give it up, go over that old story one more time, item by item, and watch how he did what he did. Watch how he plowed through a litany of hostilities. You know, you go to a race and you're going to watch. Can you imagine if you ever went to a track race and you're up in the stands and all of a sudden you see a guy with a mule and a plow? How many think he's probably not going to win the race because he's plowing through that litany of hostilities that were against him. And so when you come to that place, I love the writer of Hebrews says, here's what you do. When you need to run the race, when you need to finish it, when you need to know how to do it, he says, go over that story one more time. There's a lot of things we could preach on, but on Palm Sunday, there's only one thing I'll preach on year after year, and that's the cross. Because it's go over the old story one more time. Go over it item by item. Let it be that which encourages you not to lose your faith, not to quit, not give up the race, but go over it one more time. Everybody say amen one more time. God's going to do that for us this morning. So we're going to go over it. And what we did was this. On the cross, I believe the cross was the greatest pulpit he ever mounted. He preached from the Mount of Beatitudes. He preached from a boat once. He preached, you know, on the Sea of Galilee. He preached lots of places. But the greatest pulpit he ever mounted in his life was the cross. 6 hours he hung on that cross. 6 hours. He hung, and in those 6 hours, he said 7 things. They weren't his last words. He spoke many times after that. But they were the last words that he would speak on this side of eternity. Because he would end, when he ended his earthly life, the last 7 words while he was on earth. And those last 7 words were life teachings that the writer of Hebrews says, go over it one more time. Go over the old story one more time. When you're about to quit, when you're about to give up, when you've had enough and you cannot believe it's turning out like it turned out, go over the story one more time, item by item, and watch him plow through the litany of hostilities that were against him. You'll learn how to live life. You'll learn how to do it. And so one of the keys is, how did he do it? How did he do it? How did he live? How did he do it? So the first thing is this. When you feel like giving up, keep your eyes on Jesus, on your little outline. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So how did he do it? When we look at him, how did he do it? Number one is this. First thing he taught us from that great pulpit called the cross was forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life. I don't know if you've got this in your life, but how many of you have got one person where their gift in life is to ruin your life? Anybody got that? Their one gift in life, their one calling, their one anointing in life is to ruin your life. They just got a gift. They're good at it. They know how to needle you and get to you and put you down and take away this and that. But listen, one of the keys I talked a few weeks ago, learn how to travel light. Do not come. I'm glad. I'm telling you right now, I don't have 500 pounds of unforgiveness on my shoulders trying to run my race. When I used to run track, one time, this is the truth, I was in a relay team, and a mile relay team, we called it. And I remember when I got my leg of the race, we were behind. And I put my head down, and I just started running as fast as I could run. And I ran into the person in front of me. They disqualified me. You get disqualified when you do that. So run with vision. Run looking at where you're going. And what happens is, you need to do this. We used to have these weights that we put around our legs during practice. And these heavy weights, and we used to run with it. And when we took those weights off and we could run the race, man, it was like you didn't weigh anything. And some of you got so much baggage on you, so much baggage of unforgiveness and hostility and all of that. I mean, you're weighted down. Many years ago, I went to Korea, and Dr. Cho, the guy's one of the largest churches in the world, he's a real small Korean pastor. And I remember he taught on the Lord's Prayer, and he taught on where it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And Dr. Cho sat there, he said, "Dear Lord, today I forgive many people because I hate many people." How many of you can relate to that? Lord, today I forgive many people because I hate many people. And so what you've got to learn in life is how to forgive everyone whose anointing is to destroy your life. You know, when I talk to people, many times most people are quitting the race because of a relational issue. It's something relational. It's something somebody. Somebody's hurt them. Somebody's done them dirty. Somebody's done it. Jesus said this from the cross. The first thing he said, "Father, forgive them." And in the Greek language, the word "forgives" repetitive verb. It meant he said it over and over. When they nailed the nails, "forgive." When they tore his garments up and when they gambled his garments away, "forgive." When they mocked him from the cross, others, he said, "forgive them." When they shouted things at him, if he's a Christ, he forgave the priest. He forgave. And one of the keys, as I talked to you, I said, travel light. Travel light in life. Don't get bogged down by all the things. And he said, "For they know not what they do." And we think, "Lord, they know what they're doing." Why? And when Jesus was on the cross, he had to look from his viewpoint that they knew what they were doing. They were Roman soldiers. They knew the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They knew what they were doing. They knew he was the Messiah. The Bible says for jealousy they had delivered him. They knew. And yet the Lord said, there's a level that everybody knows what they're doing. But then there's a depth when they have no clue what they're doing. Because if they knew what they're going to have to pay, if they knew what the price is they're going to pay for what they're doing, if they understood in eternity, sin blinds. And when sin blinds, you just become self-absorbed. And people that are self-absorbed just lashes out for everybody. And it helps you understand this, that I do this with my heart. I said, "Lord, I know they understand on one level, but on the deepest of levels, they really do not understand what they're doing to me." And so Jesus on the cross could say, "Father, forgive them, for they really, really do not know what they're doing." Not on the depths of them. They're blinded. They're blinded. They don't understand. Their hearts are darkened. Their hearts are... And so what I do is this. Learn to get rid of the weights. The weights and the sin that so easily entangles and hinders us. If none of you just get number one, you don't even need the rest of the six of them. Help me forgiveness, because remember this. Forgiveness doesn't mean it didn't matter. It did matter. Forgiveness doesn't mean that it was okay. It was wrong. Forgiveness doesn't mean then you're supposed to trust again. Trust is earned, not given. Somebody steals something from me, I'm not giving them the key of the piggy bank. You know, again, I'll forgive them, but I sure don't trust them. There's a big difference there. Their character, I forgive them. I don't have any weight. I don't hold anything against them. But forgiveness releases you. Forgiveness takes the weight. I'm not sitting up here today with this 800-pound gorilla on my back called unforgiveness. A lot of pastors leave the ministry every 3 years. The average pastor stays at a church 3 years and then moves on to the next one. Because by the 3 years, he gets enough, he has enough and enough, and he just goes on and, I love you, and then 3 years, I hate you, and move on to the next one. Travel light. Everybody say amen, will you? All right, number two, Jesus was not alone. It's a miracle happens, and the next thing that has happened countless times through the ages, but he looks and there's two thieves, and number two is this: help others who are experiencing your same struggle. Help other people who are experiencing. Let me give you a test to do this week, and you will find it to be true. No matter how down you are, if you will find somebody else as down as you are and help them, when you finish helping them, something will happen in you. I don't know what it is. When you help others going through, can you imagine Jesus on the cross? And here's what it said. It said one of the criminals hung there and hurled insults. And aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God since you're under the same sentence. we're punished justly for getting what we deserve, but this man's done nothing wrong. And Jesus said, and he said to Jesus, remember me. Now think what Jesus in his darkest day. Jesus got the weight of the world. Jesus is now atoning for the sins from Adam all the way up to the present day. He's carrying the weight of it all. He that knew no sin became sin. He is cultivating the entire idea of why he came. It's the cross. And here's this one guy over here wanting something from him. Here's this one guy over here wanting some help. And he's dealing with this huge, huge thing going on. And he looks at Jesus, would you do something for me? Would you help me? I got a need in my life. And he says, would you remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus says, dude, I got my own issues over here. Just don't. Is that what Jesus said? He reached out across that great chasm that divides man from God and one more time brought one more sinner across there before he gave up his life. He said, today I'll tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, sometimes you've got to learn that living really does come from giving. And if you want to get out from under the big heavy load you're under, give. Everybody say give, would you? Helping others, you will be amazed. When the thief said that, he reached out. Because when you do that, it will literally change your life. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah says it this way. He said, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then what? Then your light. Everybody say your light. Your light will rise on your dark day. And your night will become like noonday. When you help somebody else going through their tough day, even though you're going through your tough day, it will make a difference in your life. That's why next Sunday I want you to bring somebody, not just for them, though that is the primary reason it'll change their life. But if you'll do that and you see their life change, it will do something to you. It will reignite your love for God and your Christian life like nothing else ever will do in your life. Because when you help somebody else, then your light will shine. And your dark day will become light. And the midnight will become like noonday. And that will happen in your life. Everybody say amen today, would you? That's the second life lesson. Here's the third life lesson he taught us. How did you do it? How did he do it? How did he finish his course? How did he begin and then finish and then sitting in the place of honor? How did he do that? And it says, go over his story, item by item. Go over his story again and watch how he did. Here's what he did. Be sure you've taken care of those closest to you. Be sure you've taken care of those closest to you. Why would he give us that advice? Why would he give us advice like that? And I'll show you what he did. But why would he give advice like that? Because on our bad days, many times we dump on those closest to us. You be in the kitchen, I'm just gnawing on Jesus. Oh, yeah. Ring, ring, ring. Hello. Oh, I'm blessed giving it away. Yes, I'm just blessed giving it away. Oh, yeah, God good. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, my wife, she's doing fine. Oh, she's great. She's fantastic. Hang out. Like dogs. Some days we can give our best to our job and come home and give the rest to our families. Ought to be totally the opposite. Is that right? We ought to save our best for those we love the most. And stop being so nice to everybody else. And then being so, oh, they'll understand. They'll know it. You know, Jesus was on the cross, and it's a wrong attitude. Jesus was on the cross, and he gives his advice. On your dark days, be sure you take care of those closest to you. You know what he said on John 19? He said, dear woman, here is your son, and here is your mother. And get this, because what he was doing, he was on the cross. And he looks down here, and most scholars believe Joseph has died. His dad has died. And it wouldn't make sense any other way, but he looks down from the cross, and here's what he says. What about mom? That's what goes through Jesus. He's got the weight of the world. He's pressurized. And he looks down and he says, what about mom? Well, who's going to take care of mom? Who's going to take care of mom? And he reaches and he says, John, I want you to take her like your mom. Treat her like your mom. Mom, he'll be your son from now on. He'll be just like... What about mom? And the Bible says John took her in to his house from that day forward. Didn't put her... He took her into her home from that day forward and took care of her. What about mom? Let me tell you something about your dark days. Stop dumping on those close to you. Stop letting them get the brunt of your bad day. Give them the best. Everybody say amen today, would you? Then the next life lesson, the fourth life lesson, how did he do it? How did he make it? Realize that until you get to heaven, there's some things you'll never understand. Until you get to heaven, when you're running the race, things happen and you go, why? God, are you kidding me? God, are you still answering prayer or not? God, why? Why are you? God, what's the deal? Why won't you help? Why won't you change it? Why did you allow this? God, why? And one of the life lessons is because there comes a point when God is never intimidated with asking us. When you're an honest skeptic, an honest person, God's never intimidated with you asking why. Why didn't you allow? And so what happened was when you read the on the cross, it says, Jesus wrote and said, my God, my God. Everybody say the next word. Why? Why have you let it? One of the truths to live through a bad day is always aim your hard questions at God. And understand this, there are some things, listen, I am okay with understanding that some things I'll never know till I get to heaven. I'm okay with that. You know why? Because I've learned to trust Him even when I cannot trace Him. I've learned that I can trust Him when I have no clue why He's allowing and why He has not and why I've learned to trust Him. I just, one thing I've learned, I just don't have a problem with not understanding everything right now. Because I've had enough instances in life in the natural when I could not understand something, and then when I found out a part I didn't know, and one day, even though I see through a glass darkly now, one day I'll sit down with Him and He'll tell me face to face this and this and this, and I'll guarantee you every one of us go, now I see. And He shows us all the ramifications and all the things that were produced and all that happened. And Jesus was honest enough to say, why? Why? On His dark day, go over the story one more time. Go over it item by item. Let it encourage you. Let it be life to you. Let it be a life lesson that you understand. You will have days when you don't have a clue why God is doing what He's doing. But you can say, listen, I trust Him. Even though I do not can see Him, I'm satisfied with not knowing now. Number five, the next life lesson. Be human enough to acknowledge your need. Be human enough to acknowledge. Sometimes when we need people the most, we isolate ourselves the most. It's an honest thing. Sometimes we don't want anybody to know. There's some of you have gone in the hospital, and we learned after you got out, you're in the hospital. None of us knew about it. Well, we didn't want to bother nobody. We didn't want nobody to know about it. How many know prayer is valuable? And help is valuable. We're not an organization. We're a family. Can you imagine your wife going to the hospital? Oh, yeah, honey, I was in the hospital about 3 days. I didn't want to tell you about it, but didn't want you to worry, you know. And so I'm back home now. I'm fine. Oh, yeah, I had major operation. Yeah, but I'm fine now. Can you imagine? Let people know. That's why I tell people in a big church, always be a part of a small church, the small groups. That's why I tell you, be a part of the small group. So if somebody knows what you're going through, so you're not isolated, you're not out there by yourself. It reminds us that none of us are self-sufficient. Jesus said this, and He says, later knowing that everything had now been finished and that the Scripture would be fulfilled, He said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge, and they had a branch of hyssop. They put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. He was human enough to say, I've got a need that I need you to help me with. He was pinned to a cross, and He was trying to say a last few words, and His mouth was parched. And he lifted himself on those spikes and said, I've got a need. I need you to help me. And the Bible says he cries that I'm thirsty. There's something I cannot do myself. And he was human enough to acknowledge, I've got a need. I'm in the hospital. I need prayer. I'm facing this financially. I'm going through this. I have a need. And the Bible says he cried out and they gave him that. And listen, don't get out there unprotected. Because we all have thirst. I do and so do you. All of us have something that needs to be done. Don't ever get unprotected, uncovered. It's not a country club, it's a family. Then number six is this. Here's the next life lesson. Be assured there's a purpose and an end. Be assured there is a purpose and an end. The word Jesus spoke in John 19, he said, it is finished. It's one word in the Greek language, telekinetha. It literally means, it's a very important word, it means it's finished. It was a prophecy and a verdict all in one. It meant that and the life lesson is this. Be assured, there is an end and there is a purpose. One of the most significant things I've learned in my life is that literally when I'm in any situation, now that I'm in the Lord's hand, anything that happens in my life is turned into all things work together for the good. When I'm in this life, where I'm at now, doesn't matter what happens in my life, God can take, whether it was good or bad, God can take it and turn it into one of those, all things work together for the good, them that love God. God has turned that into my life. Doesn't mean he's the author of it, but he'll take whatever it is and he'll turn it into your good. That means that I don't have to sit there and kick against the bricks. I can say with my heart, God, I don't like this. God is horrible. But God, you can work this for my good. The devil meant it for evil, but you meant it for good. And then secondly is always remember there's an end to it. It's not going to go on forever. There will be an end. And if it's not on this life, let me tell you, one day there'll be no more taxes. Come on, somebody. Then one day there'll be no more heat. One day there'll be no more mosquitoes. One day there'll be no more weeping and crying and sighing, because we'll be there. And the Bible says heaven is real. It's going to happen. There's a new movie coming out. We're going to go see it together called Heaven Is Real. Everybody say Heaven Is Real, would you? And then the last thing this morning is this. Finally, surrender your day to God and let it go. Here's what he taught us. He said, literally, he said, the last thing he said on the cross, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. See, sometimes the ending of a bad day can be the beginning of a bad night. Have you ever tossed and turned all night long, worrying about something because you didn't end the day? You came to the end of the day, but you didn't let it go. You came to the end of the day, but you didn't surrender it. You can either surrender it to God or you can try to figure it out on your own. Lay there in bed, and then all the little, you know, the little things that jump on your mind and torment you all through the night. You know what I do when that happens? I say, okay, devil, I get the Bible. I say, I'm going to read the Bible because you're tormenting me. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm just going to torment you back. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'll just start reading the Bible. I get up and start reading the Bible. So let your day end. Surrender your day. Say, God, been a bad day. Your day might be a month, a year, or I don't know. But you surrender it to God and you let it go. Say, God, I'm going to sleep. I'm putting it in your hand. He that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. No reason for both of us to stay up all night. You're up already. I'm going to bed. Come on, somebody. I'm going to sleep. And so I go on to bed knowing that God's right, wide. Let me know God never sleeps. He's wide awake. The end of a bad day can be that. So listen. Some of you have been trying to figure it out on your own. And one of the keys about life is this, that you're going through a difficult time right now, physically, emotionally, and surrender, let it go. If you're weary, let it go. Bring your lights down low tonight. We're going to have communion. Can the guys come on up for communion and go ahead and set it around all the tables, and we'll go ahead and pray after we get it set around all the tables. We're going to have communion, and here's what we're doing in communion this morning. We're doing it over those seven things about life, and maybe one of those meant more to you than the other ones. Maybe one of those it meant and zeroed in on your life. Said, that one I really need. That's the life lesson. That's what's making me flagging in my faith. That's what's causing me almost ready to give it all up, throw in the towel, don't run another lap. And this morning we've gone over the old story one more time, item by item. And let it be an encouragement how he finished his race, how he did it. You guys go ahead and just put it all out if you would. We'll pray over it after we get it set out. He put it everywhere. He literally came to the place where he just gave it all to God. And at the end of it, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He surrendered his day, and he gave it all. Now, close your eyes just for a minute. Some of you this morning, you're feeling a calling toward God. You're feeling a nudge to get to God. Some of you may never have known him before, but you're feeling a nudge to get close. Did you know that's not me preaching or me emotional or my stories or my speech? You know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit drawing you to God. Nobody comes to God except by the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit drawing you to God this morning. He's drawing you. He's pulling, he's tugging at your life. And he wants you to be close to God. He wants you to be saved. He wants to bring you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And the way you do that is you surrender. Surrender your life, surrender your life, surrender your will, surrender your whole being. Just surrender to God. Say, God, I surrender everything to you. Today, Lord, I want you to change me. Lord, would you help me? I'm plowing through life right now. Would you help me, Jesus? Would you change my life? And really, you don't have to be fancy. You don't have to know a big formula. All you have to do is have a heart that wants to know God, a heart that wants to change. And all you do is ask him, say, Lord, would you change me? Would you save me? I've done wrong. I've gone my own way. I've been selfish. I've been that way. But Lord, today, I surrender. And if that's you, then just whisper a prayer to Jesus. He hears your heart's cry. And he's always attentive because that's the Holy Spirit drawing you. He knows he's drawing you this morning. And he wants to do something in your life. And so, Father, right now we pray for every person in here that feels a tugging in their heart. They don't understand it, but they just feel a desire to get close to God, to know God. So right now, Lord, would you do, would you finish what you've started in their life? Maybe you want to, and the Bible says you need to express it with your mouth, and maybe you don't know how to do that. I'll just help you do that part. I'll just pray, and you can pray. I want everybody in the whole church to pray with us. We just want to help you pray. And so sometimes you're not used to praying. You don't know how to do that. I understand. But I'll help you. And so why don't you just say after me, say, Dear God, I ask you this morning to take over my life. I surrender everything to you. Would you change me? Would you come into my life? Would you take control? Would you bring me out of darkness? Bring me into your kingdom of light. I thank you, Jesus. You died in my place. You took all my sin upon you. I believe you died. And I believe you're alive now. Would you come into my life and live? I ask it all in your name. Everybody say amen. Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? Father, we pray over this communion this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you promised that you would be here in a very special way during communion. And Lord, as we've looked over the old story one more time on this Palm Sunday, and Lord, we have recounted item by item the things that you said on the cross, your greatest pulpit. It has ministered and stirred and strengthened us. It helps us, Lord, to go on fixing our eyes on you. It helps us, Lord, to run the race with perseverance, not giving up. And, Lord, some of us are flagging in our faith, but, Lord, as we've listened to the old story one more time, Lord, you did it. You're telling us that we can do it and that you will help us and that you're with us every step of the way. Thank you for encouraging us this morning. As we take this communion, we love you, Lord. We want it. Let it be special. Let it infuse strength into our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Go ahead up here. Take the tables. There's some in the back, some in front. Go ahead and get your communion, your piece of bread and juice cup, and just hold. Go back to your seat and hold it. We'll take it together in just a minute. Why don't you put Hebrews 2 and 3 back up, if you would. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. I want you to read this. Can keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility that he plowed through. Take the bread, would you? Maybe this morning Maybe it was about forgiving everyone that's trying to ruin your life. Maybe that's the big arrow that pierced you this morning. And you got to deal with that, and finally you want to let go of some 800 pounds of weight tying you down, causing you to hinder you, to make you stumble, and on and on. So, Father, right now we want to live that principle. We want to live that life lesson. Lord, how you did it. You forgave everybody, all the Pharisees, all the fellow criminals, everybody that was around, Lord, trying to deal with you. This morning we just commit that to you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we look not just to heavenward, but we look side to side. And Lord, we see those that are going through the same thing that we're going through, and we can help them. Their dark day is our dark day. Just by coincidence of Roman scheduling, those two criminals, their worst day of their life happened to be the hardest day of Jesus' life. And I've learned there's no coincidences in God. That God's hand is far beyond everything. And when you're in your hardest time, reach out to somebody else. Living really does come from giving. And so, Lord, this morning we just take the bread. We thank you for all the pain that you bore at Calvary and all the flogging you experienced, the crucifixion, the suffocation that you went through. Some of you may feel like you're suffocating. Well, that's how he died. He didn't die of blood loss. He didn't die of wounds. Crucifixion suffocated you to death. That's how you died. You finally grew so weak from the loss of blood that you could no longer push yourself up, and you suffocated. You died of suffocation. Maybe you say, that's exactly how I feel this morning. I feel like I'm suffocating. I just can't get a breath. Well, let me tell you, he understands. So, Lord, this morning as we take the bread, we just hold it in our hands. We remember what you did for us. We remember, we've gone over the story again, item by item. And we remember how good you were to us. And how you taught us, even at the last hour of your earthly life, you taught us those life principles that'll help us not throw in the towel, but go one more time. That's how you carry us. You share with us and teach us and encourage us. And you ever live and you're praying for us. We thank you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread this morning. Lord, we thank you that we just commit this morning, stop dumping on those closest to us when we're going through our hard time. But Lord, we'll love them, help reach out to those beside us. We'll not just let our troubles be so big in our own eyes that we cannot help. Living really does come from giving again. And Lord, we take, Lord, all the whys that we have questions about, why you didn't intervene, why you allowed that, why you didn't stop them, why you didn't answer that prayer, why you didn't protect, why you didn't, Lord, we just tell you this morning that we love you and we trust you. We know that you love us far too much to ever harm us. And so this morning we tell you that we cannot trace you in some situations that we're facing, but we trust you that you know, and that one day you will tell us, and one day we will not look through a glass darkly ever again, but we'll know face to face. And we will say, righteous and true are thy judgments, O God. We will tell you, Lord, that how brutish we were in our own thinking. We were like animals. But Lord, now we understand. We tell you right now, we're okay with not knowing till heaven. And so we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for loving us when we didn't think you loved us. We tell you that we thank you for protecting us when we didn't think you protected us. Thank you for, Lord, taking what the devil meant for evil and turning it out for good. And we commit that to you. And we tell you, Lord, that we trust you regardless. We love you, Father. And you know, Lord, as you thirsted that day, we thirst. There's needs that we have. So, Lord, I just pray for strength to be able to share, to be in a relationship, a small group. a ministry where I can really tell people when I'm hurting and when I really need some help. Financially or physically or emotionally, relationally, whatever it may be. I just need help. I'm not self-sufficient. You weren't and I'm not, oh God, you know that. So I ask you, thank you. And I thank you for everything in my life this morning. I thank you there's a purpose. I thank you that there's an end. And Lord, I thank you right now that I surrender everything. I surrender it all. And I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. My eyes are fixed on you because I want to finish my race and I want to have a place of honor one day. I want to sit in the stands and encourage other people. I want to be able to let my life and my life's lessons be an encouragement to those behind me and say, that's the way to do it. That's how you finish your race. You finish it strong. You finish it noble. You finish it with integrity. You finish it with courage. You finish it with joy. Finish it with the love of God still burning in my heart. With everything within me, Lord, I want to love you and serve you. And Lord, I thank you this morning, this communion morning on this Palm Sunday. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your story. Thank you for saying those things on the cross. Thank you for living it to the end. Thank you for helping me run my race, carrying me through with your life's words. We love you. And we tell you, Lord, we honor you this day. Be real in this communion, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and partake of the juice. Everybody stand up, would you? Nick, lead us. Lift your voice one last time this morning. Let's thank him. Come on. Your eyes look full his wonderful face and the things of earth will sing it one more time. Come on, just sing with your heart. Say, turn your eyes, Jesus. Full. Come on, sing it with your heart. And the things of earth will grow strange in the light of his glory. Can we give him a great clap offering this morning? Would you do that? Come on. God bless you. Turn around and hug somebody. Say, hey, I'm bringing somebody new next week. We're going to see a miracle next week. When only a miracle will do. God bless you. We'll see you at 10 o'clock next Sunday morning.